work in romance.
It's not an act,
but what is quality time?
It's never a bad thing to call me beautiful.
Men, they want you to be on pause.
Oh my gosh, that had to be a horrible day.
That's gonna say a lot.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
dating in the workplace.
I have dated in the workplace.
It gets ugly.
You might not come out unscathed.
Hashtag thumbs down.
That's a hard no on that.
Hey, homies.
What up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo woo.
You are really going to do that every episode.
It's a thing. Signature. So we are so excited to discuss kind of a risque topic, I guess, for the Corporate Homie Podcast, dating in the workplace.
That's right. This is the second episode of our love series. We are in February. Or our third episode. Wow, our third episode in the love series. We are in February. We've been saying all month that love is like a big deal in our family. Our grandparents were married on Valentine's Day. So we love love. And so we've done this four-part series, and this is the third episode. This one's about, should you have a boo at work?
And, you know, it's one of those things that everybody's always like, oh no, I would never date in the workplace. But survey says that 37% of people have dated or had a hookup or sex in the workplace. And surprisingly, 30% of those people make it to marriage. Good for those 30%, but that means 70% of those people were like, it was no bueno.
Yeah, and I wonder when that 30%, is that actual dating? Is that
hooking up?
Yeah, I would say mishaps or a hookup, but I actually am not surprised by that statistic, but that is pretty high. 30% is a pretty high number.
Yeah, you would imagine, you know, there's a different look between dating a peer, dating a boss, dating someone that works for you. There's all, you know, different ways to take a look at that. You know, when you start trying to think about who is appropriate to date, because let's be clear, at work, you've got one shot to ask somebody out. Multiple times, that's sexual harassment.
Right, right. And you don't want to be, and this episode is
creepy.
This episode is not providing any legal advice, and it is not on sexual harassment. But I think that's super important, because one of the things you really need to think about before you start any kind of office relationship is, or I would say you need to do, not just think about, is weigh the risk and benefits of starting that relationship. And I think that part of that process, like Demetra said, you shouldn't just jump out, you know, oh, he's cute, she's cute, let me just ask her out without thinking about first what you understand the pros and cons of any office relationship, much less who they are to you within the work spot.
And I would imagine that 99.9% of all of the homies companies have some type of policy regarding workplace dating. And most of them have formal policies as it relates to subordinate boss dating, and in terms of it being prohibited. They may not have something on peer dating, but I mean, you want to always start with, is this going to get me fired? And not because it's uncool, but because it's against policy.
Right. And I think that people never do this. So you start a job and they give you all this paperwork. You take it and you stick it in your drawer at your cubicle or at your desk and never look at it again. But in most companies, they have employee handbooks that set out detailed policies about dating, or sometimes it's about professionalism and what the company deems to be professionalism in the workplace. Some of them have disclosure policies, some allow, but you have to disclose. There's confidentiality rules. There's just a lot of policies. And so we cannot stress that enough, that if you're actually going to pursue an office relationship, that you definitely should review the company's policy and be very clear that they do run the gamut. Like Demetra said, some are totally say no dating whatsoever. And then some tell you how you can date. Some say when you have to disclose, all those kind of things. But you don't want to get fired, because
you don't want to find out what the policy is when HR calls you to their office.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that's why I was saying too, you know, so that's my, I guess the first point is, you know, review the policy. The second point I would say is don't just do it for the thrill. Like don't just jump out there. Like, that's what I mean by you really need to think about pros and cons of this situation, because something that starts off as really fun could end up having some very major consequences. So yeah, for sure about that.
And I would say if you do find yourself in a situation where you have had, you know, the awful Christmas holiday party hookup, you probably want to reach out and find out what that person's intentions are, so that every email that you get or every workplace interaction, you're not thinking of some type of subtext for let's hook up again. So, because that just can be really awkward for everyone. But I guess, you know, if we kind of start with who is appropriate to date at work, you know, just my personal advice, if it's a boss, I say don't do it, period. If you can help it, that's not going anywhere positive, dating a boss.
Yeah, and when we say boss, like, don't get into semantics with this idea of, well, I don't actually report to him. I report to his equivalent. But I think when we're talking about dating, we're talking about anyone who is sort of above you at the organization. But certainly, if someone actually evaluates your performance, if it is within, you know, the wheelhouse of the organization or company, that they are actually going to perform your review, that can be not only extremely difficult to manage, but it is certainly the kind of thing that you probably need to disclose also immediately to someone.
And I would say, you know, I've not personally been in a situation where I was dating my boss in the workplace, but I have been on a team at work with one of my teammates, one of my peers was dating the boss. And, you know, when you work in an environment where work is being passed out and whatnot, it was really awkward for everybody. And it was like the worst kept secret, as most dating in the workplace is. And, you know, when a new deal got passed out to this young lady, you know, everybody's kind of giving each other the side eye, like, well, I guess we can't do things for Jim that she can do, so we're not going to be getting those deals, you know. So it became a really awkward thing. And we were, so my point is, we were all in the relationship, even though we were not in the relationship. And it was ridiculous that they thought it was some kind of secret.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I definitely think the dating up is a huge challenge. I also think it's a huge challenge for you to date down the organization for the same reasons. If you are evaluating someone and they report to you or they work for you, that is equally challenging for the same exact reason. So we don't even have to spend a lot of time on that, because it flips the other way. All the same issues that come with you dating someone who evaluates you, it comes the exact same way in the opposite, because you evaluate them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think about when I first got into leadership at the bank, for a lot of my young branch managers, that was the first advice I'd always give them, is don't sleep with the tellers. Like, you can't sleep with your tellers. You can't do that. That's not, again, it's not going anywhere positive. Hashtag thumbs down.
And I do think that this is one of those things that, you know, like Bimitra said, everyone has probably worked on a team where people were dating and things happen. And so there's this idea that, especially the dating with a subordinate or someone that reports to them, and people get to thinking, well, I've seen, you know, Mike do it, and I've seen Jim do it, and he came out unscathed. And, you know, this is one of the things when I do think that being a woman and being a minority is different, because I do feel like, yeah, that might not happen for you. You might not come out unscathed having handled it the same way that Jim did. It might actually have different consequences. And that might be because you're a woman, and that might be because you're a minority. And that's not fair, but that is keeping it all the way real.
In 20 years, I've seen lots of workplace romances, hookups. I've never seen a person of color, male or female. I've never seen a woman come out of that situation unscathed professionally. And I don't mean they were just being talked about and gossiping. I mean, where it did not actually hurt their career.
Right, have some real professional consequences, which takes me back to point one, which is don't do it for the thrill. Evaluate your pros and cons. So if you think this is like someone told me I need to stop saying boo without defining boo, that I shouldn't assume that everybody knows what boo is, but boo is a, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, a beau, if you will. But if you think that this is the love of your life and your boo is going to turn into a mate and this is going to be my lifelong love, then the professional consequences might be totally worth it. But if you're not sure, that is, I think, what surrounds the secrecy of a relationship. And I know I have dated in the workplace and I dated peers.
Really, girl?
Really? Yeah, I've dated peers. And I've always felt like there's no reason to disclose a peer relationship unless it's going to be serious. So I feel like if you just are starting to date, you're not sure where it's going, the next thing you know, you're telling everybody, you know, me and Tom, we're a couple. You know, me and Tom are dating, right? Girl, yeah, you know, we've got. And then it fizzles in a month. I mean, maybe your dating life is much more sustainable than that, but I have certainly dated many people for a month. And if that happens at work, it can make people question your judgment. And then it starts making other people uncomfortable. They're not sure if they can put you and Tom on a team together. Will you be able to work well together? And I feel like that goes back to, you want to be able to handle your decisions, make decisions yourself, and not have other people imposing their view of what they think you can handle on you.
There's a big difference between dating in the workplace and sex in the workplace. And what you're talking about is dating and a relationship. And as we get serious, when do we disclose? And what's our breakup contingency plan? And things like that. And all those things have to be discussed and defined. But then there are times where people have found themselves where they are literally just having a casual sexual relationship with someone that they have worked with. And this is important because, like Demetra said, it all matters. If they have anything to do with your professional life and you're having sex with them, there's going to be some awkwardness or whatever, especially if one person wants to try to transition that casual relationship to a relationship. So, you know, these are all things that, unfortunately, you're going to have to either have serious conversations or not do, or at least have a, like I said, a contingency plan for how you're going to get out of the situation without it, you know, just completely terminating your career.
Yeah. So I would say this, like I said, I've had workplace relationships, and, you know, one of my big tips I would say is don't act like a couple at work. Even if you have disclosed, even if you're supposed to disclose, I mean, not even at work events.
So basically have some boundaries.
Right. And I think that's going to be important not only for your work relationship, but it will be important for your actual romantic relationship as well. But I just think displaying affection, it makes people uncomfortable. I think your coworkers see you in a professional manner. They want to keep it that way. And you, like I said, there's also can be tension in the relationship that'll come if you're trying to have your relationship all day long, all night long. It's just, you need appropriate boundaries. But one of the things that we did, and I will say this, we both dated successfully. We broke up successfully. We are still friends today. We don't work together anymore, but we transitioned from all of those very well. But when I realized that we were on a date, because I'm not even sure I realized we were on a date, because we were working together. And that's another thing, like, you have to sort of be conscious. Like, I remember thinking we had gone out for a meal. I thought that we were sort of at a co-worker's having dinner. And then I realized, oh no, like, I think we're on a date. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I think we're on a date. I hadn't decided if I wanted to be on a date. I hadn't decided if I wanted to date him. How did I end up on a date? And so then we ended up in this big discussion at dinner where I was sort of, like Demetra said, almost laying out, well, what would it look like? When would we think it was appropriate to tell people? And I mean, this was all before we really started. And if it doesn't go well, how are we going to handle it? So we really did lay out the whole thing up front. And then, as I said, we never were a couple at work. And so I would really say, don't act like a couple at work. And certainly if you are just having sex, like Demetra said, you know, it's not television. So it's not like on television.
So the
when
kissing
people
in the
sneak
elevator.
Off,
yeah.
And they
sneak
off
to the copy room. Yeah, no.
Right. That's not real
life.
Absolutely. That's a hard no. That's a hard no on that. And if you're doing things like that, that's when you have the worst kept secret, right? That's when everybody understands that you think you're keeping something from someone, but people are not that stupid. So they really understand. Another thing I would say with all this is watch what you post online. So this idea that you're having a secret office romance, but every time you post, your coworker happens to be there. I can remember being in Mexico one time and running into one of my coworkers in Mexico, and I live in Texas. So I don't live in Mexico, so it wasn't like we were close to home. And I was in the gym, and he was like, "Oh my goodness, you're not going to believe who else is here in Mexico." And I thought,
"Sir, stop. We are not, knock it off."
You're correct. I'm not going to believe who else is here from the office. Who is that person that I'm not going to believe? Who is the person?
You know, the other thing I would say is, you know, especially with the worst kept secret piece is, just like you remember when you were in college and you could tell when people were hooking up because you could tell their energy. And when that doesn't change in the workplace, I've been in many a meeting where two people come in or they're disagreeing in the meeting and you think to yourself, well, how long have they been sleeping together? You know, like, that's awkward.
That's right. Right. And that's what I said. Like, those online posts are sort of now also those, you know, unspoken tips that your way you're showing people. If you always end up in the pictures online, on Facebook, on the gram, with, you know, your coworker, then you will end up being subject of the rumor mill. And I do think that it is hard to keep a very professional stance when the people are gossiping about your personal life.
So everything that we're talking about is like being your best self in dating and sex in the workplace. But we all know that in real life, sometimes emotions catch up with us. People will go to an event and have too much to drink or not make the best decisions. And so, you know, at that point, how do you terminate a relationship without being terminated? Because, you know, the nightmare is you do have one of these situations. It gets ugly. I had a friend who a guy tried to ghost her. And for people who don't know what that means that they were supposed to go away for the weekend. He never responded. He didn't show up. He stopped texting.
Except for you,
and
can't, then she, you can't
and then
go.
Saw him in the break room on Monday.
Right.
You know, it's like, you
can't,
dude, you
wait,
can't
except for you can't. You can't go somebody.
I'm going to see you first of all, like, I don't know how that was going to work out for him. That was the craziest thing. But she ended up quitting because he apparently didn't have a problem kind of bopping around like, oh, well. And it was very hard for her. And it wasn't even that serious of a relationship. But you know, so you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're quitting a job or trying to find a new department or get to a new region because you haven't thought it through. And some, you know, so how do you terminate the relationship without being terminated?
Right. And so I do feel like that's why you need that to have an exit strategy up front. And that's why you and the person need to talk about that. And I always feel like when you get ghosted, when the person ghosts you, I feel like that often that is because the person feels like you're not the kind of person that they can discuss things with without you getting super emotional or you being all up in your feelings, because people don't like
conflict.
Right. So I always say most people do not enjoy conflict. They don't like that, you know, or people say, I'm not about the drama. I think that's what people mean when they say they're not about the drama. And so they don't want to have to sit down and say, oh my goodness, I've changed my mind about going on the weekend getaway. And then you bust out crying, or worse, you pop in bottles ready to curse them out and jump on the table. And so then they're like, well, I tell you what, I'll just, yeah, you don't want it with me, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's when they're just like, oh, I'll just fade to black. I'll let you figure it out. But I think that's why that exit strategy piece is important. Another thing I think is, don't lie to yourself about who you are. So who you've been in all your other relationships is who you're going to be in the office relationship.
Plus 10.
Right, because it's on high, right? It's the higher emotions, higher stakes, you know, higher things at stake. You're seeing the person a lot more. And so you know if you're the person, and this is about you telling yourself the truth. If you know you're the person that as soon as you go out with somebody, you start planning your wedding, you already are thinking about
China patterns.
Right, telling your girls what your kids' names are going to be and all of that. You probably shouldn't be an office relationship person.
Ever.
Because
ever.
Like, you should just know, like, girl, no, I get caught up in the rapture of love with the quickness. And so you shouldn't do that, because you're not going to be, because these steps that we're giving you, they are for people who are able to operate sort of outside of their emotions. If you're a very emotional person, your office romance are probably not the best for you.
That's not office your ministry.
Office hookups are not the best for you. Here's another thing. If you know you've never had a hookup, like, you don't hook up successfully, right? You're the person who always hooks up and then calls tomorrow and says, so where's this going?
No.
If so, if
so,
that's
should,
you,
so should you leave a toothbrush in my house?
Like, I mean, I have a drawer for you. Like, if you are that person, then don't do that at work, because if you're not doing that outside of work, you certainly are not going to be able to handle it at work. And so I do think you need to take some stock into who you actually are in regular relationships, so that you can know whether, you know, office romance is for you or not. Because it's not, look, as Bimitri said, it's not for everybody.
No. So you want to kind of hit the highlights, because we talked about a lot of different things. So,
right. So just to wrap it up. So here's what we think the tips are. First tip is, don't do it for the thrill. Like, think about it, weigh your pros and cons of the relationship up front, even a very casual, we're just going to have sex. Weigh the pros and cons. The second thing is, if you decide to move forward, review the company's policy on dating. Make sure that you understand if you have a requirement to disclose, or if it's okay for you not to disclose, or how disclosure is supposed to happen and when, so that you don't end up violating some company policy and get terminated over a relationship that might not even be sustainable. The third one is, don't date up or down. So don't date people who evaluate you. Don't date people that you evaluate. Don't date people on the same levels of those people.
That's a hard no.
That's a hard no. Try to keep your office relationships limited, if you're going to have them, to people that are on the same level as you within the company. The fourth tip is, don't act like a couple. And that's both ways. Don't bring all the goodness of the relationship in there. Don't bring your fights. Keep that separate. And like I said, I think that's important, not only for your work life, but also for your personal life, so that you know that when I'm at work, I don't have to come in and say, well, you didn't tell me I look pretty today, or what all that. You can focus and work. So the final tip is to have an exit strategy.
The breakup contingency plan.
Right. Make sure that you have talked about at the very beginning about how you want to end the relationship. If, you know, in the highly unlikely event that it doesn't work out, you have
to end up in marriage.
Right. If you don't end up in marriage, that you have actually talked about how, or set your expectations about how you will actually wrap the relationship or end the relationship in a way that you're both comfortable and can maintain some professionalism. You know, just keeping in mind overall that navigating workplace dating is tricky. It is not an easy thing. Kind of know who you are and figure out what's the best strategy, so that you can not have that situation affect whether you are going to keep your job or whether you want to keep your job. You don't, like Demetra said, you don't even want to be the person who is actually leaving your job because you just got so uncomfortable when it was time to exit the relationship.
So as always, thank you so much for listening. We want to hear from you. You know how to find us on all of the social media outlets.
Yep. You can always email your questions or thoughts to questions@corporatehomie.com. We've actually gotten a couple this week. We're always really excited when people suggest topics or have questions or things they want us to address. So thank you. Secondly, you know, we're on all social media at Corporate Homie. Homie is HOMIE. And of course, we're on the web at corporatehomie.com. If you are enjoying the podcast, we so appreciate you listening. We will take a 5-star review. We are learning that that is the currency of podcasts. So thank you so much, but feel free to do a review. Always shout us out, tweet us, all that good stuff. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.